Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And I have to apologize, we've been trying to get a hold of Dr. Frank Strangis and keep getting a fax machine. So I have sent a fax, so Dr. Strangis may be somewhere out in the ethers, and hopefully we will contact him at some point during this broadcast. So for those of you who tuned in specifically for that, my apologies, and don't know what happened, but I've been having a lot of real strange kind of computer and electrical things going on myself today, so this is not a great surprise. So those of you who have healing abilities and things, you probably know all about this. So I'm just going to kind of babble the way I usually do, you know, when we have a problem with getting a hold of a guest. And rest assured, if we do not get a hold of Dr. Strangis tonight, we will get him on another night. So not to worry. You will get to hear him and speak with him. Like I said, I don't know what's going on, but we'll just go on and forge ahead. So if you have any questions, we can make this, you know, a live call-in right now. If you have been wondering about something and would like to ask me a question or just voice an opinion, that's fine. You know, let's go for it. Let's have a little fun while we're waiting. And I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about this whole ET thing, and obviously, which is why I was having Dr. Strangis come on. And one of the things that has popped up lately, at least in Sedona, has been that a lot of people are really fed up. You know, they're fed up with so many things going on with the government, going on in their own private lives. You know, it seems like everybody has been beset with all kinds of challenges and you know, wonderful things are happening at the same time. But one of the things people have been talking about out here has been about the continued government cover-up of the whole UFO question. There are many people in Sedona who have seen aliens, who have spoken with them, who have maybe even ridden in the spaceships, which Dr. Strangis has. There are many people who have been chased out by people in black military uniforms, who have been chased by black helicopters, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You name it, we've had it out here. So what I've noticed, though, lately is people are really fed up. It's like, come on, you know, let's get on with it already. You know, we already know they're here. We know there's good ones and there's bad ones and there's in-between ones. And, you know, we're all not from here anyway. So, you know, what is the big cover-up about? So if you have any comments or questions on that, you are welcome to call in and we'll commiserate about these things. For myself, I can tell you that I've had communications, certainly not on the level that Dr. Strangis has or that Dr. Bell has, but, you know, I've had enough to know that there's, you know, something else going on out there. I've had enough sightings of spaceships in Sedona and in other places. And, you know, there have been quite a few different things going on. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, Dr. Olmsted. How are you?
I am doing just fine, thank you. And how's everything going with you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm calling you because I wanted your diagnosis, you might say, about the Morgellons issue.
Oh, sure. I'd be
happy. And what you would recommend for treatment of that.
Okay. Well, the main thing is Morgellons is kind of a catchphrase. So let me just give a little history on that first. We're calling it Morgellons, and there are two distinct things that are happening. One is that it's completely a parasitic infestation, which can be taken care of by anti-parasitic medications. The other one is it's something really weird that nobody knows what it is. So the question is, which particular type are you speaking of?
I would say the type that has the fibers that's beyond anti-parasitic that
okay.
I've used everything for, and I cannot get rid of it.
Okay.
It's not delusional parasitosis, and I
yeah.
went to a dermatologist, and mm-hmm. she did a biopsy, and she didn't find anything, but when I take a bath, I have fibers in the tub, I have the biting mite, and you see these little things that look like amoebas with black dots and other things in them. I mean, they're physical symptoms of it, along with the itching and the crawly things.
Yeah.
And some people think it's nanotechnology, so I just wanted to know your informed opinion.
All right. Well, so far, nobody's really informed on this that I know of. You know, we all have our ideas. So far, I can tell you that that I have spoken with many people who have the fibers, and we're calling this a nanotechnology, but nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm.
The government is denying it, of course, you know, and there's you know, not much official research, well, if there's any official research, but there are certainly many sufferers of this. Other people are saying, no, it's just parasites and, you know, do the wormers and that works. And that does work if that's what you have. For the people who have the fibers and they're growing out of the skin and growing into the bone, growing into joint spaces and, you know, into things that I don't even want to contemplate.
I know. I don't even like to look at the symptoms.
Yeah. For those people, you know, there hasn't been a consensus that I've seen on what works. I have seen that there was someone that used laundry detergent, and I think it was Sun laundry detergent.
Sun with bleach. I mean, I've tried that.
Yeah, didn't work, huh?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, the thing about Morgellons is so weird. You can try everything, and when mm-hmm. I first got it, I try things and I thought I had it licked for 24 hours and then they come back in force and it's like they have an intelligence. I've read this before, they will come back and it's like they come back with a vengeance. And I'm using this Derma RX, it's very good. I'm using an enzymatic cleaner that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that now ammonia is good to wash your clothes in, but I don't think I can use ammonia like internally. I've been taking
no.
salt. I have tried absolutely everything.
I do have another suggestion for you, and I don't know if this will work or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an unusual product that's made by Priestess Alchemy, and they're trying to decide if that's like a nanobot technology and you know, is working on the side of good for us. But they have you know, the monatomic gold and platinum, and you can take them as an elixir. And they also have a skincare product line that's really nice. So you might try them. It's
www.priestessalchemy.com. Mm-hmm.
And they have pictures on there of these little critters. And
mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to decide what they are. And they were telling me that one of their friends, who's a scientist, said, oh, yeah, these are nanobots, and the government uses them and has known about them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was quite interesting. So with all these things happening, and, you know, with what's been swirling around on the Internet and everything about, oh, these are nanobots from outer space or they're glass bodies from Mars.
Well, okay, the scariest thing I've read is, besides the chemtrail theory, mm-hmm. is that it comes from bioengineered cotton, and therefore it's people have said that you can actually see, like, Q-tips and on your cotton things, these things moving. And that's a very plausible idea to me. The other thing is I used to eat raw cheeses, which has me worried because I don't know if those raw milk cheeses might have been a contributing factor, too. But I think the cotton is a very, very plausible scenario.
Oh, sure. That's what I have heard, too. And like I said, I haven't seen anything where anybody really knows. You know, there's an awful lot of speculation out there. Now, Richard Allen Miller has written a draft on Morgellons, which was quite interesting. And, you know, he's stating that basically they think that it may be that when the Challenger spaceship exploded, they had some things on that spaceship that had already been out to space and been exposed and then brought back, and they were sending them back out to space, and then it blew up in our upper atmosphere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the question is, are these mutated forms of these little things that are now coming down and raining on us? And it, because right where the Challenger pieces fell is where the outbreaks of this so-called Morgellons disease started. So that was kind of interesting to me.
That is phenomenal information.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if he's ready to release that paper yet, but I will post it on my website just as soon as I get the okay from him for that. You know, I got a draft, and so I haven't seen a final copy yet. But I thought it was quite interesting because it makes a hell of a lot of sense. You know, if the spaceship pieces came down, so did whatever was in there, and then spread from there. So, and I don't recall exactly what the particular organism was. If I can pull it up here on my computer, I'll take a quick gander.
I think that you're so well informed and so open to this positively. Mm-hmm. You know, if in the future you could really kind of gather all the troops together and maybe do a big show on this, it would be very helpful to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people probably have incipient Morgellons and they don't even know it yet because I wonder how. You know, the thing I wonder about is infecting other people, too. That really worries me because I don't know, you know, how contagious it is. And I have to wash everything all the time and bathe all the time. I mean, it's just dealing with it just to try to keep it at a subsistence level is just so trying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's one thing that Dr. Schwartz had talked about. I had him on a couple times, you know, about Morgellons. First, when I first found out about it, and then again, I guess it was about 6 months later, kind of giving an update. And see, I've got Richard Allen Miller's piece up here, so I'm trying to see through here, skimming through. He's talking about the history and all of these things, chronic fatigue, brain cloud. He says you'll have often have elevated eosinophils. That's a part of your blood. That we look for in parasites.
You know, when I get on the web, I don't even look at the pictures of Morgellon. I don't look at all the... I have it. I've got the basics, and it's just so scary. I don't even want to go there because I don't want to get it in my mind about how truly devastating it could be. I don't even want to know. You know, I just know I have it, and I'm just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. He says,
you know, because I have looked at pictures of them, and when you're in the bathtub and that stuff is in the water, you can really see how that could be what it is, and they're just horrific-looking little creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Got hooks on them, and, I mean, it's just, it's devastating. There's some kind of amoeba, and I do think they change forms. I mean, I think they go from one form to the other, and I do think they have kind of like a mass intelligence. They will migrate in your body.
That's exactly what Rick Miller has been saying. And he's talking here about they subjected the fibers to gas chromatography. They put them through, the vacuum chamber exposed to high heat. They compare them to a database of more than 90,000 organic compounds, no match.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no published records of the composition of the fibers from that or any other Morgellons case. They found Columbola, which is a microscopic roundworm in some patients, and that's what Dr. Schwartz has been talking about, too. Then they've got Columbola feed on algae, bacteria, and decaying matter thrive in wet or damp surroundings, which is exactly what Dr. Schwartz has been saying. But the CDC will not take action. Their start date was to investigate this was supposed to be February 2007. I'm looking to see what else they have. He says 707 million Chinese harbor one or more parasites.
Mm-hmm.
Higher infection in females than males. They have three or four particular types. That's the worm part of it. And, of course, we know that. You know, we all have worms, and so everybody should really be doing a good worming every year. What I'm looking for, let's see, they're talking about heavy intestinal nematode infestations.
What I worry about is, I mean, having gone to a dermatologist who actually had a specialty in internal medicine,
mm-hmm.
so she's no fool,
right.
And she gave me an article about it being pretty much a figment of the imagination of 72-year-old women, which was incredibly insulting, and she was a family friend. But my worry is that the dermatology profession knows about this much more than they're letting on. And for some reason, they've been told not to recognize it, or the labs are not giving out the actual results of those tests, because I just think she's got to be more savvy than what came out in the analysis of my situation, and I'm just wondering if there's a profound cover-up underway here with this.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, because they can't do anything about it. So it's like anything else. If they can't do anything about it, they're not going to let you know. And I have to tell you, I had a patient that came to me a few years ago, and I realize now that she actually had this, but we didn't know anything about it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to the head of the Mayo Clinic dermatology department, who would not even look at her. She had an open wound
mm-hmm.
on her chin
mm-hmm.
that all this stuff was coming out of. And she brought in the little jar. And by the way, people, if you go into the doctor, and especially the dermatologist, with a jar or a matchbox full
mm-hmm.
of these little things that you
mm-hmm.
pull out, they will immediately diagnose you with delusional parasitosis. They call it matchbox syndrome. They will put you on drugs and send you away, and they will not even check you for any of this stuff.
This is the thing. They want to give you painkillers. They want to put you on hormone replacement therapy or some sort of, antipsychotic drugs, those sorts of things, like the Prozacs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just bizarre because, I mean, it's just like putting a Band-Aid over cancer. If you have some sort of parasite, why would you want to just prescribe expensive painkillers for people? That is completely nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you have to understand that the FDA and the AMA have no desire to get you well. You know,
no, that's
the
true.
Money
they'll
is made
money.
And you being sick. And the sicker you are, the more money they make.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, you gotta face those facts in the first place. You know, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. You know, we know what's going on. I found that reference I was looking for. So the first outbreak of Morgellons disease, and I'm quoting from Richard Allen Miller's paper here, first outbreak of Morgellons disease occurred in the same six states where the lost 2003 Columbia mission fell from space.
Mm.
It wasn't Challenger, it was Columbia. It fell in February 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And the little bugs appeared in July 2003. The debris that was removed from the Columbia mission included live survivor organisms from the nematode experiments.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, living nematode remains were also found in all six states where Morgellons appeared. No data came from NASA about the possible mutation of these samples. A group of small 1-millimeter adults, Caenorhabditis elegans worms living in petri dishes enclosed in aluminum canisters survived reentry. And you know, reentry burns everything up. They survived that and the impact with the ground and were recovered alive weeks after the disaster. I mean, this is scary. This is really, really scary stuff. And it's so disgusting.
And I'm so glad you brought it out on the air because I have read so much and I've done so many web searches on this. I feel like I'm an expert, but I hadn't heard that. And perhaps
you
might
are an expert.
Get a step further and help him publicize that because I think it would make people have a lot of aha moments.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, that you are the expert now. You know as much as I know because you surfed the web. That's what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with several people. I talked with a guy who was the head of the Morgellons research thing in Canada. They're all still trying to find out what would work. He came to me to see if I knew anything else. I said, well, I talked with Dr. Schwartz, you know, and here's what he uses. But I've also had people tell me, yeah, I did that protocol and it didn't work. And I've had other people tell me, yeah, I did the protocol, took care of everything. So that tells me that there's two different things going on. One is strictly parasitosis, and the other one is God only knows what. So I'm wanting to find out what this is and figure out somehow how to take care of it. I mean, you know, if these things came from us, we sent them into space and they mutated because of the exposure to cosmic rays, then, you know, we had a problem.
We have. But that's why I'm saying I think there's a big cover-up going on. And the other thing is I had initially gone to a doctor, just an internal medicine doctor, with my symptoms. Doctors are not trained to recognize anything with parasites because I thought it was a form of scabies of some sort. And I gave him the particular, and he wanted to give me a pap smear. And it was really weird because they just will not deal with parasites. And then on the web, I saw that a lot of doctors really don't have training in parasites. But my problem is they're talking about this guy with drug-resistant TB. He's on 24 hours a day. And we're talking about here a huge health crisis. And if it is contagious, God knows. I mean, if people are just turning the other way, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Good question. What are we doing besides nothing?
Well, listen, doctor, I just thank you so, so very much, because, I mean, you really are really up on it. And this thing about the explosion of the Columbia, I mean, that is really awesome.
Oh, this, it shocked me because I didn't know about that. And I've read up on things, and I've seen the, you know, the theory that they're glass bodies from Mars and they come in space dust, and, you know, we get 600 tons of that a year. But you know, he's really researched this and gone into everything, and he is a scientist, so he's pretty good at ferreting these things out. But he's got everything down here. He's talking about polyformaldehyde polymers that are in interstellar space. They're closely related to cellulose, and they're finding these things living, organic living things, out in space. They found vinegar out in space. The nematodes being exposed to special light forms, the sprites in the exosphere, you know, the sprites in the jets, the red and the blue lightning that are way up there in the exosphere. And so he's talking about how that could be, you know, one of the things that happened is they got exposed to that, and now they're a new life form, which we should be exploring, not ignoring. And so, you know, I looked at this and went, wow, you know, this is really interesting what he's written here.
I do think, though, that nanotechnology is probably a very fertile area to explore, too. I think it has something to do with nanotechnology, whether it went out into space and blew up or whatever. But I think it has to do with bioengineering, and I still think the cotton fibers might be a very plausible avenue. And China is also a very questionable thing, in my opinion, because they could be conducting biowarfare against us. And, you know, I think people know more than they're letting on. Chinese people aren't stupid, but if they wanted to infect us, they could do it. They're doing it with our food and with our pets, and if they do it with our clothing, I mean, all they have to do is walk across the border and just take over if we're all sick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so much stuff going on, and, I mean, we really, really have to be alert. And, I mean, I was horrified by this.
Do a juice with kosher food. I mean, the most important thing in the world is to control your food supply.
Absolutely.
Because if you're poisoned, then nothing else matters. And I think we've got to start looking at life like that again.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what we're going to have to do is go back to actually doing our own little victory gardens. The problem is all this stuff is being dumped on us through the air, and there's no escape.
I know, with the chemtrails. I mean, that's the other thing. It could be a chemtrail issue.
It could be that also. And so, you know, nobody really knows. And, you know, I keep looking through because I kind of have a vested interest in it. You might remember that I was diagnosed with that by Dr. Schwartz. And after I was in my holographic room going, you know, what's going on with me? You know, let's fix this. But mine was parasitosis. And so it went away very easily with the protocol. But you know, I've seen quite a few patients that have like a mix of this. I haven't seen anybody with the really bad fibers yet. I've seen like little black fibers coming out of people where you're not sure if it's a fiber or a hair, and I've heard of it, but I really don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. And the only thing I can think is if we've got to come up with something else. And, you know, here's my other thought. As I looked at these pictures of these things that they're not only coming out of the skin, they're going into people's bones and becoming part of the bone.
You know, like I said, I can't even deal with that. I don't even go there.
Well,
I'm trying not to be delusional about it.
Yeah, but here's something that I found interesting. If you go to Lloyd, what's his last name? Poy, I think. If you go to his site, he's got he's got a photograph of a star child skull. And they
I can't remember.
Pine, Poy, you know, it might have been Pine, But just type in star child and you'll find it. But one of the things that was interesting is they took sections of the bone and they found these same fibers woven through the bone of the skull. And they were postulating that perhaps this had something to do with a heightened nervous system. And maybe this is why these beings were more telepathic or time travelers or whatever. So I was sitting there talking with a guy from Canada many months ago and going, what if this is a new form?
Lloyd Pyle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And what if this is a new form? You know, what if this is what we have to become? I mean, I don't know. I'm just postulating the question, you know, but
I thought of that.
Yeah, and you know, so the main thing is, you know, how do you feel, and what happens to these people that have these massive fibers coming out? You know, are they surviving? Are they dying? I can tell you the ones with the parasites are dying.
Oh, God, stop!
No, I'm not talking about what you've got, okay? You're talking about fibers. That's a different thing.
But I think I have, but I tell you, I've been fighting it so assiduously, I think that I've kept it at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's really broken out into being just so bad because I have been working so hard on this. I've used everything that I can find.
Well, here's another thing, too. What's the simplest explanation? And I'm going to answer that question. My simplest explanation on this is go back to the food. We are eating things that no humans have ever eaten in the history of humanity.
Yeah.
We have no idea what they're doing. And look at the big report that came out on sodas. A week or two ago?
I've never drunk sodas. And diet sodas, forget it.
Oh, yeah, diet, absolutely.
But here they carbonated drinks, period, aren't good for you.
But, I mean, here they've got something that's a common preservative that they've been using not only in sodas but in a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what is going to happen? You know, we do not have better living through chemistry.
Mm-mm.
We have, like, nightmare living through chemistry now. So my question is always, what's in those foods, I mean, not only that we know about, but what about the things that they're not telling us that are proprietary, secret ingredients? They could be putting anything in there. And you know,
we have
just
human genes and, you know, mosquito genes and firefly genes and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Genetically modified, like corns and soybeans.
Yeah.
I've read that they can get in your gut, and this stuff starts replicating, and it's just a horror show. It's just a horror show.
Exactly. So what really is this? You know, what, for all you know, you got something that was, you know, engineered some way in order to see what would happen. Because, you know, the United States and other governments have a long, long history of experimenting on the populace whenever they feel like it. And they don't have to tell us squat.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tell us. And, I mean, I printed something off the web, it was a couple months ago. My mother, my 87-year-old mother, always thinks that I'm crazy because she never hears any of the stuff I talk about from anybody but me.
Right.
I said, Mom, you don't get out much, you know, and you don't talk to the people I talk to.
Uh-huh.
And so I finally got disgusted, and I printed out this this thing that I got off of Ken Adachi's educateyourself.org website. And what it was a timeline of the experiments, the medical experiments the United States government has done on us since like the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at that is horrifying. And do you think they've stopped? You know, they're ongoing, and they have mad scientists working for them. They will do anything that they can do because they want to see what's going to happen.
Well, the whole other idea is if there's an alien agenda, they may want to make the world unfit for humans and fit for their own strange biology, and that's scary too.
Well, yeah, that's scary, but, you know, you can't worry about invasion from outer space, you know. I mean, that's, you know, our government should be worrying about that, but, you know.
No, but that's not so far-fetched. It's not.
Yeah, and so the real question here is, obviously people are afflicted with Morgellons of two types, and it was a mistake to name it Morgellons, you know, and everybody has admitted that. They should have, you know, thought up a new name like fiber disease or something.
Right, right.
But because it's named Morgellons, everybody's thinking it's been here before. I don't think that's necessarily true. Might be, but, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm asking probably as many or more questions than most of the people would ask about this because I haven't seen a definitive answer. The closest I've seen is what Rick Miller has written. And that's because he brings everything in. So my question is always, what is really going on? And you know damn well we are not going to find out about it unless somebody comes out and blows the whistle on these people that are doing these secret experiments. And, you know, maybe it's the irradiated nematodes from space. Maybe it's glass bodies from Mars. You know, maybe it's sodium benzoate and all this other kind of stuff that's now combined. You know, who knows? I certainly don't know. And, you know, now we're taking more things into our body, vis-a-vis the chemtrails. So, you know, now we've got all these people that are breathing in tiny particles of aluminum and radioactive barium and radioactive boron and, you know,
uranium.
uranium and, all the depleted bomb uranium. Everybody's got background radiation now. And for those of you who are very precise in your language, yes, I meant everybody. I've done, enough checking of people with a Geiger counter to tell you that everybody's got background radiation. You know, and it might be small. It might be, 1 to 3, but you still got it. And everybody up here that I've checked is usually hanging around 5 to 7 millirems, which, by the way, disappears when you go into the holographic chamber. Takes care of it in 15 minutes. But then you go out and you get more. So we have all these things going on, and all the crap they're putting in the chemtrails, such as the 6 terrible bacterial microbes there that used to kill people all the time, like Serratia marcescens and anthrax and Pseudomonas and, Klebsiella and all these other things. You've got, I think they said there's a couple of viruses. You've got 9 toxic metals, including cadmium and mercury and lead, and I forgot the other ones now. You've got the
aluminum,
aluminum. You can see the aluminum when they put that in. You'll see this weird kind of a shimmer in the air.
Yes,
and I mean, sometimes
upside down rainbows.
Yeah, it's just bizarre, and you can feel it too. You can feel it when they do these different things. You can smell it. You can taste it. I mean, awful things are going on.
Well, doctor, let me ask you something. Do you think the campaign to stop smoking, and I'm saying this in seriousness, is a way of de-arming the population? Because I have read that smoking actually, and even with this Morgellons, I've been trying to stop, and when I stopped for a month, that's when this thing became full-blown. I wonder if the nicotine or something in the tobacco actually has an anti-nematode, because actually tobacco and nematodes have a long history together, but I wonder if there's some relationship there.
You know, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
Why does the government really care so much about us? Why are they making everybody stop smoking? I mean, what if that has some kind of inoculatory effect, or it does something to your body to help you fight off all of these toxins in the world?
Yeah, that's
I'm wondering.
A good question. I don't know. You know, personally, I wish everybody stopped smoking because it's noxious, and I have a sensitive nose, and it makes me sneeze.
Right.
But I've seen the damage that it does. You know, I was an RN for a long time, and I took care of these people that died because of smoking, and I watched people be asphyxiated, and that's how they died.
Right.
You know, it'd take them like 3 days to die. If they were really strong, they'd last for 3 days, and that's it.
Right. Well, I'm just throwing it out there because I know about the lung studies in the 60s, but I've also read and heard that actually those lungs that they presented were actually coal miners' lungs. They weren't smokers' lungs. And some of the longest-lived people in the world are smokers, including Queen Mother, who lived about 102, and she was a heavy smoker. So, I mean, I just read pros and cons.
Well, and see, the difference, too, is when our parents smoked, they had nothing added to it. Now you have the cigarette papers are flavored, and they're flavored with opium, amongst other things, many toxic chemicals and things. And I read a study by a biochemist who was trying to figure out why it was so addictive, and he was in a paper gown and had to be in a non-rebreather mask and all this kind of stuff to go into the flavoring room where they were flavoring the papers.
Right.
And so he tore a piece of his paper gown off and took it home and analyzed. It was chock full of opium and all kinds of other things.
Yeah, but the whole box of rebellion was about opium. But, one of the theories nowadays is that actually it's the plutonium in the air and the uranium and the radiation that's actually causing this lung cancer. And actually, I don't know, maybe smoking is a trigger. And I just kind of got off on a tangent with this, but I think, you have to examine everything because I don't think anything's really clear-cut.
Yeah, and especially with this particular issue. And why is the CDC not investigating this?
That's it.
Because you have to sit back and go, okay, what makes sense? If people are sprouting colored fibers from their skin, and worms and bees and wasps and spiders are
crawling
out of their tissues,
that's right.
That is bad, people. That's abnormal. It's not the way the human body is supposed to work. So why are they ignoring it?
And
this makes no sense.
To do with the bee die-off.
Yeah. That's another thing. What's up with that? So, you have to look at all this stuff and go, something is fishy in Denmark.
<That's>
or like, you remember that old cartoon, with Pogo? And the famous saying was, we have met the enemy, and he is us. And, you know, I look at all these things going on around, and I go, wow, you know, no wonder people are turning to drugs and, you know, trying to zone out and, you know, going through all these terrible things and the young people committing suicide and all this other stuff. I mean, no wonder. Look at the mess that we have to deal with here in this world and all these crazy things. Now, here's another thing, too. So if we get dismayed, if we get upset about all these things that are going on and we worry about it, are we not then creating a worse scenario? You know, how much does our mass consciousness have to do with this? You know, maybe this is not an infectious thing at all, the fiber thing. Maybe what happened is somebody got something that was a little weird and the story got embellished. And then it got embellished a little more and a little more, and pretty soon people started popping up with these things. And the reason we don't know what they are is because we created it with our mass consciousness, and we haven't decided what to call it yet or what it does.
Okay, now I'm just going to have to depart with you there, because I do think thoughts are things, but I think that the road to hell is paved with non-observation and people that don't read newspapers and that don't pay attention to politics and that aren't active because they don't want to pollute the mind stream are absolutely crazy. And the only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So
we're totally
on a physical plane and we have to deal with physical things. And I just totally have to reject that, because I think that's one reason we're going to hell in a handbasket, because this New Age philosophy has zoned people out. And they think all you have to do is think happy thoughts and everything will be okay. And that's just not the reality of this world.
Yeah. To a point, I agree. Mm. I agree that you have to be observational. But I have also seen people change past history with intent.
Yeah,
to where everybody remembers something different to what it was changed to. And the only person who remembers what actually happened is that person who changed it. And so there's a lot of that going on, too. I think that there's far more to look at, and it's not quite as simple as everybody might want to make it. I don't think it's as black and white. I think it's really, really gray, and I think there's so many gradations of gray in there. And I think that choice has something to do with it. Not that I'm saying that you chose to do this. No, no, no. So please don't think that.
Well, I mean, people say you choose your incarnation, and I'm saying, well, I hope I didn't choose this, but... I mean, I'm willing to buy that the fact that we do choose certain paths we're going to take in the world and certain trials and tribulations we're going to have. But like I say, when we're in this world, it's a physical world, and I realize, you know, everything is energy and all of that, but still we live in a physical plane, and if we don't deal with it that way, and that's what the great religious truths are about, the fact that there really is evil in the world and there are really things you have to deal with, and you just can't go la-di-da.
Yes, you do have to deal with it, and that's what I keep saying to people, too. It's like, you know, don't ignore things. Mm-mm. You have to know what's going on, and then you decide what's your choice to do. You know it, really. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. They like to pretend they don't, but the fact is that
there are certain ideas that people have watched so much TV that's actually corroded their brains. I feel like I'm in Invasion of the Body Snatchers a lot of times. People are totally non-aware.
Oh, I totally agree. I've seen
it's
a lot of that
scary.
Up here, too. You know, you start looking for the exit because people are looking at you funny. It's like, oh, no, the pod people are out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's really scary about people sometimes.
Yes, it is. And I think that there is so much going on, and we're about to go through such a huge change. And the change is in our consciousness.
I think a cleansing needs to happen, because I don't think we're going to be able to rectify the mess we're in without some serious revisionism going on.
Eah,
I think the things need to be expunged and purged.
Yeah, I hate to think that, but that may be the way it is. And, you know, all I can say is we have so many weird things going on right now. And see, the truth is coming out. You know, the government, the big companies, all the people that have perpetrated all the crap on us. It's coming out. They can't hide this stuff anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know, people are much more aware than they were, and that's a good thing. And now we need to kind of get everybody together, get everybody on the same page, get people to start taking responsibility first for their own lives and then for the rest of the world, not only for humanity but for every species upon the earth. You know, we're playing in this third-dimensional game here. We have a responsibility. And I find too many people... want to shirk their responsibility. They do not want to take any kind of responsibility for their life and what's been happening. And they don't want to contemplate it. They don't want to hear about it. I go through this with my little old mother. You know, she's like, oh, I don't want to know that.
Well,
I'd rather not
know. Really, at her age, let her do her
thing.
I mean, she's not, I don't think she's on the front lines anymore. You know,
she really never was. See, this is not a new attitude. This is the old stuff. But
okay. But
this is what I'm saying. You know, I mean, too many people, you know, when we came up through the 50s, you know, that was an odd era. Do you realize that we have never in human history had a time like we had in the 50s through the 80s? I mean, not that, you know, this is normal either.
Like abundance.
But, you know, the whole, you know, 2.5 kids and, you know, 2 cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot and, you know, the wife stays home and the husband works and all that kind of stuff. That kind of domestic situation, the Leave It to Beaver family,
well,
was only during
family,
that phase.
It was scary to me. I mean, that's such a weird way to live because people have always lived in community. And
mm-hmm.
I lived in Manhattan a long time, and I think that's ideal because it's like the whole city is like your family in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come, like I'm living in Charlotte now, and everybody's got these huge houses, and, you know, the nuclear family is ideal. And once again, it's the 50s ideal with like 4 and 5 children, and the wife stays at home. But it's just so fractured. And, I mean, I just love the communal life. I think that's the healthy thing. The nuclear family in isolation is just ahistorical.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. It's just so odd. And you know, when I was going through school, one of the things that they pointed out in my psych program was that, you know, we've never had anything like that before. And we're all trying to return to that kind of you know, a kinder, gentler world, but that world only existed for that narrow length of time. And before that and after that, it was chaos. It was hell. It was all kinds of stuff happening throughout the centuries that was very difficult. And so now, you know, here we are in wars and everything and wondering what's going to happen with the world. And then we have things like Morgellons and we have, you know, terrible pedophilia. And you know, and especially when, you know, you have all the stuff coming out about all the people in the upper echelons are pedophiles and horrible pedophiles because they want the energy of the children. And so they're torturing them and sexually abusing them and killing them because they want that energy. It's like, oh, my God.
I know, but if you're into David Icke at all, and I think, I don't know if you can buy him 100%, but I think he's on to something.
I know.
We're also talking about an alien agenda there, and I just think
exactly.
If you want to get the whole story,
mm-hmm.
you can't leave that out. You just can't.
Exactly. And so, you know, I look at all that kind of stuff, and I go, man, you know, there's so much going on, and you know, I look around at the effects of this. I look at the rampant use of prescription and over-the-counter drugs.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you know, the recreational drugs don't do near as much damage as the pharmaceuticals do.
Well, of course, that's why they don't want people to smoke marijuana, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
then if they don't have a relaxation with marijuana, they have to do Prozac, you know?
Yeah. There's all this stuff to consider. This is a very complex world that we have built now. And so now we have to deal with it. And you know, like David Icke and others that are, you know, talking about the alien agenda and the people who have been up in the spaceships or working with the aliens that are here on Earth, they're all saying, hey, nobody's going to come and save us. We have to do it ourselves. We've got ourselves into this mess. We have to get ourselves out of it. And so I keep going back to the point of responsibility. Everybody needs to sit up and look at themselves in the mirror and say, what is it that you're supposed to be doing?
That's true.
What am I supposed to be doing here? You know, yes, you are here to enjoy life, and you're here to learn. And what is your mission? Everybody has a mission. And moms, I hate to tell you this, but it's not just to have kids.
But see, now I'll just have to agree with you. I'll have to disagree with you because I don't think everybody's mission is to go out and save the world. I mean, it's like chop wood, carry water. And I think mm-hmm. if a person's a good mother and she's a good wife and she raises kids, and there are a lot of women who are just domestic, I think, you know, I just don't buy into the 60s thing with the, you know, the Betty Friedan thing. I think women, a lot of women really are very happy nesting, and they aren't happy out in the world. And I think
that's true, but when I'm not saying they have to go out and get a
job.
But I'm not talking about a job. What I'm talking about is that each one of us comes here with a gift.
Right.
And the gift has nothing to do with procreation. The gift has to do with some unique portion of your being. And, you know, you can sit home with your gift and do things.
But to love a family and to nurture a family and to bring them to their fruition, that's a gift by itself. I mean, everybody can't get out and be Joan of Arc, you know?
Exactly, and I'm not saying that they should be. But what I'm saying is that there's something beyond that a lot of these people have given up, and it shows up in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows up in domestic abuse. It shows up in the illnesses that people get.
Right.
It's a frustration. There's something else there that every single person that's on this earth has something else that they are not doing oftentimes. And once they find that thing that fires them, that thing that brings them to the fullness of their essence, they blossom. And I disagree. It's not being a mother, you know. I say that because I've seen a lot of people blossom and finally find what that other gift is. And
but
yes, you know, being a mother and being a teacher and all these kinds of things, that's very, very important.
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing. You know, any animal will do that, specifically the ones that stay together longer. But, you know, but the thing is that love is something that we all are. And we're here to be sharing that with each other no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody gets all upset about the political stuff. And, you know, I don't hate George Bush. I don't hate Dick Cheney. I don't hate Clintons. You know, I don't like them, but I don't hate them. I don't hate any of them because they each have brought something to this world. And if nothing else, they played the bad example that's starting to wake people up. And that's a really heavy job, and you usually only find the strongest spirits doing that. And so, you know, I look at all these things going on, and I go, huh, wow, well, I know what my role is. I know what my gift is, one of my gifts. And so I know what my particular mission is. Do I expect everyone to do that? No. I expect everyone to find what that other gift is.
But, you know, the only thing about that is, and I'm not going to beat this to death, but, you know, the prototype was to go out into the world and, you know, have a career. But the thing is, the most soul-destroying occupation you can have quite often is to work in a job. And I
think
a lot of women are much better off at home with a husband and kids than working in these dead, boring, hateful, evil corporations. And,
oh, absolutely.
But
like I said, it's not about a job.
No, but you know, not everybody has the kind of talents and gifts that, you know, you may have been blessed with. A lot of people are just run-of-the-mill folks who just need to, you know, do their mundane thing and,
yep.
you know, be good people. I mean, that's just my view of it. You know, not everybody has great artistic or musical talents. And like I say, just being good neighbors and good citizens, that means everything, everything.
Well, and maybe being a good neighbor and a good citizen is what they're supposed to be doing. But, you know, there's a way that we all have that is beyond what anybody else can do. You know, we have something more. Each one of us is a piece in the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do without any of us. You know, and it's like you look at a puzzle, there's dark and there's light,
mm-hmm.
and there's neutral areas, and there's some that are interesting and some that really aren't. And it's all okay. You know, that's all part of this whole puzzle that we're building. And, you know, my main thing is just to have people not get so shocked by what's going on around them that they cease to be who they really are. So, you know, with that, we're going to have to cut it short here. We've got 2 minutes left, and then they're going to put the hook and yank us off.
Listen, shalom, and I've enjoyed this, and thank you so much for your erudition.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you so much for calling in. It's always wonderful to have a lively conversation. So I hope the listeners have been enjoying that. And, you know, all I ask is that everybody just kind of, you know, sits back and examines themselves. I can't tell you what to do. You know, it's not up to me to ferret out what you're here to do and how you're supposed to live your life. It's your life, but don't let anybody else live it for you. Make sure that you're living your life fully, 100%, the way you want to live it. And the way that you're supposed to be living it according to whatever plan you set up. And, you know, some people have taken a much harder road. And some people have taken an easier road. There's a whole lot in the middle. And it's okay. But just know where you are. You know, the most important thing is to know thyself. That's what all the great teachings are about. And the only way to do this ascension process is to really know yourself, to know that highest self, and to move in that direction, whatever the direction is. And that's the way we get out of all these problems. So I guess we didn't get a hold of Dr. Strangis after all. We were trying. Don was trying, you know, through the broadcast. So I apologize to everyone who had tuned in for that. We will get Dr. Strangis on as soon as possible, which will probably be maybe even next week. We'll see. And for those of you who are familiar with Dr. Bell, I will be speaking at Dr. Bell's Health Science and Energy Seminar in Laguna Beach. And in fact, I'm leaving tomorrow, so I'll be speaking on Sunday, and we'll be doing kind of a, you know, back and forth panel and you know, general discussion on several of the days also. And I'll be also doing some different things with a set of projectors that I bring with me, and you know, little sessions. So if you're interested, you can give me a call. My office number is 928-284-0906. I will be checking my messages. So if you're in the Laguna Beach area, you might want to catch me when I get out there. So until next week, thank you so much for listening, everyone, and thanks for all your comments, Dale Ray. Dale Ray's been typing furiously here, and I haven't had a chance to answer anything, but thank you, Dale Ray, for continuing to listen and for bringing in your comments. I love seeing them. And everyone else, thank you, and be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty night.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Arise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.